Welcome to the Michael Slate Show. I'm your host, Michael Slate. And today we have a very special show. I know I say that a lot, but this is really an extremely important and very special show. We're going to be spending the entire hour with Sansara Taylor. Sansara is a writer for Revolution Newspaper, a host of WBAI's Equal Time for Free Thought, and sits on the advisory board of World Can't Wait. She's also been a frequent guest on this show. She's written on the rise of theocracy, wars, and repression in the U.S., led in building resistance to these crimes, and contributed to the movement for revolution to put an end to all this. She takes as her foundation the new synthesis on revolution and communism developed by Bob Avakian. And you can find her impressive verbal battles with Bill Riley. You want to see Bill O'Reilly get his butt kicked? And go to YouTube. You can find that. And you can find that in various political commentaries from Sansara on everything from abortion to religion to cultural relativism. And you can get that by searching Sansara Taylor on YouTube. But right now, you're going to get a mindful of what Sansara has to say on the show today, because we're going to be spending the entire hour with her, and we're going to be taking your calls at the end, towards the second part of the show. And a quick word of warning, if you're listening to this show in another part of the country other than Los Angeles, you will not be able to participate in our listener call-in section, because the show that you're listening to is pre-recorded. So please do not try to call up. Hopefully sometime we might actually be able to have a call-in section that would be able to reach people across the country, but right now we're just not able to do that. So it's still a very interesting conversation to listen in on, and I encourage you all to listen in and write to me with your comments and your questions and your ideas, and I'll not only read them myself, but I'll pass them on to Sansara Taylor as well. But we're going to be talking about a new initiative that Sansara is involved in, and this initiative is the Call to Action, End Pornography and Patriarchy, the Enslavement and Degradation of Women. Sansara, welcome to the show.
Hey, Michael. So glad to be with you.
Good. Well, good to have you here. So because I want to get as much in here, and believe me, I'm looking at a list of questions at like, 20 questions here. Okay. So we're going to just plow through it. And I'm sure listeners are going to have a lot to say when we get into that part of the show. But in that call to action that I just mentioned, End Pornography and Patriarchy, the Enslavement and Degradation of Women, from the jump, the situation, first, why don't you tell people what that is, but also from the jump, the situation described there, when I read it, it's alarming, horrifying, and disgusting. And if you have any consciousness at all, if you have any shred of consciousness, then what's presented there actually could only be described as an emergency situation. What about it?
Well, we're told every day in this society that women have won their equality, that there are no longer any limits to what girls can achieve. But this is the furthest thing from the truth. We live in a society where every 15 seconds a woman is battered. Every single day, three or four women are killed by their partners or supposedly their most intimate lovers. One in four women in college will be raped while she's in college. And all this goes on every day while we sit around and are told that we're free and we're equal and all this. But then even on top of this, in recent years, there's been a phenomenon over the past couple of decades where pornography has become increasingly violent, cruel, and degrading towards women, while at the same time pornography has become more and more mainstream. And in a lot of ways, this is directly linked up with a backlash against the gains that women made in the public sphere through the Women's Liberation Movement and the broad revolutionary upsurges of the 60s and 70s. And there's been a very vicious, very brutal, very demeaning backlash in the intimate sphere and in the propagation of the degradation of women through pornography and through the mainstreaming of pornography. And it's had incredibly harsh and devastating effects on the lives of women and on the relations between women and men throughout society. And this is not society becoming more comfortable with sex. That's what we're always told. Oh, it's just sex. This is society becoming saturated with the sexualized degradation of women. There's a world of difference between women being seen as full human beings. And yes, sexuality is a part of being human. It's a really important part of being human, and women have been denied the right to be sexual, to be sexually active, to be sexually desiring or to take initiative. They've been deemed sluts or dirty or shamed if they express sexual desire. That still has to be challenged. But the saturation of society with pornography is not challenging that. It's reinforcing the stripping of women of their full humanity and the reducing of them to sexualized objects. So this is one big front of why there needs to be a real new upsurge taking on the enslavement and degradation of women. But then, before we go on, I have to add the seemingly mirror opposite, but actually very, very, very similar, just a flip, it's sort of a negative picture, is the Christian fascist-driven assault on women's right to abortion and to birth control, and the continuing demonization and attack on the rights and the dignity of gay, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual people, people who don't conform to the Christian, biblical, narrow, traditional gender and sexual norms. And we've seen in the last year the largest number of restrictions on abortion, 92 restrictions in 2011, that shattered the previous record of 34 restrictions passed in 2005, and that was under Bush. This, we've seen President Obama uphold the decision of his head of Health and Human Services to remove Plan B, emergency contraception, from over-the-counter distribution. We've seen sort of an assault on the one side of the notion that women are fully human with the saturation of pornography that reduces them to sexual objects, and then from the other side, an assault on women being fully human that reduces women to their role as breeders. And whether you are a breeder or a sex object, neither is fully human, and this has got to be challenged. And it's actually so deep in society at this point that most women, including most young women who have grown up with these being the normalized standards, have no idea that this is that this is not just their the way the world has always been, and the choices that they want to make, you know, take place in that context. And they actually have never heard this challenged forcefully and never had the opportunity to stand up against it, even though a lot of them really feel tormented and tremendous suffering is imposed on them because of these standards. So this is something we want to challenge boldly, radically, militantly in the culture, in the streets, in the classrooms, and throughout society.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me remind listeners that we're talking with Sansara Taylor, writer for Revolution Newspaper, and currently involved in the call to action, End Pornography and Patriarchy, the Enslavement and Degradation of Women. Now, Sansara, one of the things, I want to go back on this mainstreaming of porno, because, you know, it's one of the things that struck me, and I remember when really I began to get a sense of this is, you know, friends I had years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago, who were, you know, very progressive people, and they were, you know, people, actually some of them were gay men who were, you know, just sort of, you know, themselves dealing with the repression of their sexuality and the objectification and the suppression of it. And, you know, at the same time, they found no problem in going to local strip bars to have birthday parties. There was and as things continued to go on, this whole mainstream, you look at television today, I was just reading an article about the head of CBS talking about her television programming and how she feels that, well, yes, maybe you can call some of it really raunchy, but we're not violating the laws, but this stuff is incredibly, incredibly bad, you know, in terms of what it brings out with, what it does to women, what it portrays women, you know, the role of women in society, what it promotes as, you know, just the view of women and in particular, the sexual objectification of them. And this is something that, you know, I know on your show, you interviewed Robert Jensen and you guys spoke about, you asked him about this paradox of pornography. And I'd like you to talk about that a little bit. This idea that, you know, even as it gets more mainstream, as you said, it gets more violent, it's degrading and racist. There's something going on there that really has something to do with the character of the whole society. And you look at the dehumanization. I mean, I was just thinking in relation to this in terms of one form of pornography, which is more, you know, overall humanity. But the Marines urinating on the bodies of the Afghan people. Or you think about the way that this has always happened in wars, where Vietnamese women, their vaginas were often targets of brutal mutilation after or as a way of killing them, after they were dead or as a way of killing them, you know, impaling women on their genitals. It was just a horrible, horrible scene. And there's this whole thing of the more vile and racist and degrading it gets, at the same time it's becoming more mainstream. What does this say about what the hell's going on?
Well, I think what you're raising is extremely important. Pornography is not just a portrayal of sex. And I know we live in a society that has all kinds of repression around sexuality, around women's sexuality, around gay sexuality. That is all of the past. That's traditional, it's patriarchal, and it's harmful. But pornography is not an escape from that. You know, it's. I want to read a quote. This is from a veteran porn actor and producer, Bill Margold. And he explains why he thinks, and he's a major producer of porn, pornography is so popular and why a certain kind of violent and degrading pornography is so popular. He says, and I quote, I'd like to really show what I believe men want to see, violence against women. I firmly believe that we serve a purpose by showing that. The most violent we can get is the cum shot in the face. Men get off behind that because they can get even with the women they can't have. We try to inundate the world with orgasms in the face. And I want to read this because this is not even the root of pornography. It comes, it's different than the root of Eros, erotica. Eros is passionate love or sexual love. There's nothing wrong with that, and in fact, that can be beautiful, and it's important that there be space for that in society and in people's lives. Pornography, it comes from the root pornographos, which goes back to the Greek tradition in ancient Greece of taking women of conquered people as sex slaves, as concubines, and it's depictions of women who are owned as sex slaves. And pornography depicts, I own you sex. I don't respect your humanity sex. It is the sexualization of degradation. And it's important that you bring up the imperial conquest because these things get very, very closely intertwined. We live in a society, in a culture, in an empire, in a capitalist imperialist system that is based on conquest, genocide, and slaughter. And all of that, degradation, domination, subordination, that then it permeates all realms of human society and human social relations, and it gets processed and through pornography, it gets inserted into the most intimate relations. And pornography strips sexual interaction of any mutual vulnerability, any equality, any mutual exploration or joy, and it becomes about what somebody can do to somebody else, what they can subject them to and get off on by doing that. And the descriptions you share of the Marines urinating on those they kill, the sexual torture of Vietnamese women during the Vietnam War. The same thing if you look back to the founding of the U.S., in the genocide of the natives, of Native American people, that was very common. If you read Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, for instance, you can read about the U.S. soldiers who went out and they took women's genitals, and they, after they had killed these Native American women, mounted them on their hats, carried them around, wore them like trophies. The pornography and the degradation of women is something that is bound up with a culture and a society that is rooted in conquest and domination. And as a communist revolutionary, we want to get to a world without exploitation, without domination, without degradation of any kind. And we want, and that includes getting rid of it in the intimate and the private spheres. That doesn't mean you have to become the bedroom police. I am not in favor, particularly in this society, of giving the state any more power to regulate people's sexuality. That always reinforces attacks on gays and lesbians. It reinforces, decency laws have always furthered, narrowing and defunding boundary-challenging art and scientific sex education. I'm not for giving this state any more power, but there's a difference between saying that this state should not have the ability to interfere in people's bedrooms and saying that people ought to be challenged about what it is they're getting off on, where it comes from, what it reinforces, and how they lose their own humanity through being part of it. I want to say the overwhelming majority of women who are in pornography, whose bodies are used, and whose intellects, whose thinking, whose other passions count for nothing in pornography, the overwhelming majority of them, if they had an option, they would get out of it. It's a very brutal, a very degrading industry. But, and then for people when they are watching it, to get off on it, you're getting off on somebody who is desperate enough to take work that, frankly, no one should have to be asked to do.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things, too, that comes out with this, and I want to talk more about the pornography and prostitution and the question of choices a little bit later as we talk. But one of the things I was thinking about as we're talking about this dehumanization and what happens with this and the whole way, the various ways that this gets portrayed. I recently, a couple months ago, saw a play called House of Gold. A really amazing play, and it was written about JonBenet Ramsey, and the whole point, it was an adult woman who played her, and it brought out just the horrible, just unbelievable sexualization of this young woman and what happened with her and how and what how that led to actually her savage murder. You know, and you think about this, the sexualization of children in general, and then the flip side of that, which is the making women the childish, childlike, mm-hmm. As part of the whole sexual atmosphere. I mean, it's really a tremendous, huge thing. And I was there's a couple of examples we could talk about, but before we do, why don't we just hear what you have to say on that? I mean, I think this is something that is happening increasingly, where young children, young female children, are actually sexualized, and women are often. I mean, even the kind of old, and this was, you might look back on this in today's world, it's kind of, oh, well, that was just innocent. But that whole kind of Betty Boop kind of talking and, the childish baby infantile, semi words and cute inflections and whatnot. This actually today has become really another tool to just push women further down to the bottom of humanity, if they still are included in humanity.
I think you're right. I wrote recently in my blog about a woman who has a 7-year-old daughter, and the woman herself just is something of a human Barbie. That's her occupation, I guess. And her daughter grew up in this environment where her mother has had $1 million worth of plastic surgery, making her more sexually attractive along a very narrow and brutal sexual standard. And she's grown up in this environment where that's prized, that's what women are valued for, which is both in her family but also throughout society. So the 7-year-old apparently begged her mother, and her mother gave her as a gift a voucher for liposuction and for breast implants when she got old enough. And so a lot of people, not enough, but some people were commenting on this in the blogosphere and saying, this is just so wrong of this mother. And I think it's a terrible thing for any parent to do to their child. But I had to pause and make people step back and think, because a lot of people were saying, she's too young for this. She's too young for this. And I agree. 7 years old is too young for being sexualized. But I want to say, if you think about it, if you're 7 and you want to wear a fireman's helmet, or you want to pretend you're president, or you want to, mimic and mime any other adult behavior, there's a lot of things that kids mimic that are not age appropriate, where if they were to actually do them, it would be irresponsible and harmful. But if they play with them, it's not so bad. What made that story so appalling is both that the girl is so young, but also it should wake us up and say, why is it unacceptable for a 7-year-old to be treated that way and to have those ideas of what is valuable, what makes a woman valuable? But it's not offensive to us that women, full-grown women, are told that that's the only way they can be valued in society. So that's one thing. But then, because I just think if it's wrong for a little girl, and there are differences in sexual development, you have to respect, and you should not sexualize a child. But the image there that was so disturbing is something that's disturbing for any age. The other layer of this, which I think is extremely important, is that if you follow the standard of women's sexual beauty, which has always been a narrow and constricted standard, there's been, ever since the emergence of classes, ever since the emergence of patriarchy, ever since the notion that women are primarily breeders of children or sex objects and whores who are useful to men in that regard, the virgin and the whore dichotomy, ever since then you've had beauty standards which have been upheld and that women have been judged by, that objectify and dehumanize the whole humanity of a woman and reduce her value to her physical attractiveness. So that's always been bad. But if you go back, I just want to get this in, if you go back a few years to when Marilyn Monroe was sort of the icon of sexual beauty, it was still harmful and still wrong for women all over to be told that that's where their value lies, and for men to be trained to see women in that way. But it's interesting to note, Marilyn Monroe was 28, 29, 30 years old when she was at her iconic height. Today, the standard of female sexual beauty is almost prepubescent, as you were saying. Think of Britney Spears, 16, in her Catholic school outfit. Think of the younger and younger and younger girls who are being sexualized. And as you said, and you can go to the toy store and find stripper poles for 7-year-olds. You can find thong underwear for 6- and 7-year-old girls that have a little wink on it. You can find all of these things for little girls. the standard is getting younger and younger, and women, as you're saying, unlike Marilyn Monroe, who at least had the body of a full-grown woman, the standard today is hipless. It's all the way bare, no genital hair, looking more and more prepubescent, all of these things. I think this is linked to, and I've read different people have put this forward. Gigi Durham, who did a book, The Lolita Effect, was fascinating on this account. She linked this, and I think this is true, to an almost, or I would put it this way, an almost direct backlash against the assertion of full-grown women for their rights and for recognition of their full humanity. You had the women's liberation movement. You had women reject the objectification, the dehumanization, all of the narrowing standards. You had women break into the public sphere. They're in the workplace. They're in the, you know, political life. They're in every realm of society now. And men no longer have that all-male enclave that they used to be able to go to when they left the house. And so they have to deal with women who are demanding to be treated as people all over the place. And a big effect of this has been the lessening and lessening of age of sexual attraction, because young girls are not going to be so assertive. They're not going to be so demanding. They're going to be more malleable and more conformable to traditional, docile women who are going to be more servicing to men. And I think this has got to be understood as a very, very harmful thing for girls, a very, very harmful thing for women, and also directly related to this system and the culture it produces, generating a backlash against the advances that women had made.
We're talking with Sansara Taylor from Revolution Newspaper, and we're talking about the call to action, End Pornography and Patriarchy, the Enslavement and Degradation of Women. Now, Sansara, one of the things, too, and you spoke to this earlier about the idea that this is, you know, there's a very common thing of, well, this just means what's going on today in terms of the mainstreaming of society. It's just, you know, ripping off the shackles of Victorian sexual standards or something, you know, and that's, you know, and you've spoken to that and laid out what that actually is. But there's another thing that comes up, which is that women, and it's also, sometimes it's voiced a lot by women as well, you know, and as well as men who are trying to justify it, but a lot of times by women who argue that this represents women having the freedom and confidence to assert their sexual side in whatever way they want. And some even go so far as to contrast the content and the effect and impact of male supremacist, male chauvinist, oppressive pornography and lesbian porn, for instance.
Well, I think it is really important that we rip off the shackles of Victorian tradition. It's absolutely essential. They're suffocating, they're stifling, they are crippling to women and to men, particularly to women. That is nothing that anybody should uphold or want to go back to. So I want to unite with the impulse, but we have to do better. If you can't imagine sex without one person dominating and degrading somebody else, if you can't imagine sex without porn, you are mentally shackled. And I think in this society, a lot of people cannot imagine anything sexual, anything arousing that doesn't involve somebody. And it's very linked to the Victorian standard. It doesn't shatter or transcend the Victorian standard. It really accepts the notion that sex is somehow dirty, that sex is, it's fun to transgress and violate those standards rather than actually sex ought to be a mutual, respectful, equal exploration of consenting and respecting partners. And it can take a lot of different forms. But I think as far as what you're describing in terms of the mainstream of porn and what about lesbian porn, or sometimes people cite feminist porn, I'll say this. The overwhelming, the uncontested, dominant trend in pornography is viciously degrading, violent, and humiliating towards women. If you look up what are the biggest sellers from week to week, if you go to the business index of the porn industry, or if you go to their convention that they have annually, you'll see that it is 18 and abused. It is, if you type rape porn into Google, it takes 0.06 seconds to come up with 13 million websites that you can go and watch rape porn. This is the cum shop, the degradation is the mainstream of porn. So even if that's not the porn you like, even if that's not the porn that you're into, it is incumbent on you to be part of standing up and condemning what is actually the mainstream of pornography and what, on average, boys start to look at when, or they see the first time when they're 11 years old. It shapes people's sexual education because there is no sex ed. So this is what's actually shaping and doing damage in society, and it's everybody's responsibility. It harms real women and real young boys growing up, and everybody has a responsibility to stop it. I would argue that most of what people think of as feminist porn and a lot of what goes on in gay and lesbian porn, it is, some of it is just as grotesque and humiliating and degrading, and a lot of it is somewhere on the spectrum. But I think as soon as you alienate an intimate human relation, like sexuality, you alienate it from an actual interaction with a full human being, and you make it something that gets commodified and exchanged, sold, and put on a capitalist market. You turn it into something else, and there is tremendous demonization and stigma and all kinds of traditional judgment and all of this against non-heterosexual sex. That all needs to be challenged. But that is it's not radical to just mimic and reinforce the dominant relations of degradation and exploitation. That's not liberating, even if it's done by people who have traditionally been alienated and cast out. So I think there needs to be portrayals, and there needs to be an opening up and challenging and making room in society for all kinds of sexual exploration that has been shunned. But that's different than saying we should saturate the society, or we should ourselves imbibe and be degraded by what is actually the content of porn, the I own you sex, the I don't see your humanity sex.
I have a couple more questions for you, Sansara, before we get into the call section of the program. But, you know, first let me remind listeners that you're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and we're talking today with Sansara Taylor, writer for Revolution Newspaper, and we're talking about the call to action to end pornography and patriarchy, the enslavement and degradation of women. Now, Sansara, one of the things that always comes up is this question of choice, and you started to speak to it before. A lot of times it's advanced that women choose. Sometimes there are women who actually choose this as they choose pornography as a profession. They choose prostitution as a profession. What harm does it do if they choose it? And to just in the interest of time, I'll make it a compound question here. It's also, I had a discussion with a friend recently who advocated this choice position, but put a different spin on it. And she was considering why she might not be so opposed to sex workers. For instance, casting it as the idea of doing it as a social service, choosing to do a job that can help people who might never have a chance to experience sexual intimacy for whatever reason. And that was sort of making her draw back on the question of, I think, both to a certain extent porno, but definitely on prostitution. What do you have to say to that?
Well, I think we have to be very clear. When we're talking about the sex industry worldwide, we are talking about millions and millions of young women and girls who are tricked, who are kidnapped, who are stolen, who are shipped across borders, who are smuggled, who are raped, who are brutalized, who are burned with cigarettes, who are kept locked in cellars and starved to death, who are chained and who are brought out and raped repeatedly and then sold as chattel. The sex industry in the world is literally, it's the trade in women's flesh. And pornography is one, it's the portrayal of that. Just as in the ancient Greek, it was the conquest of women who were sex slaves and then the images and depictions of that. And pornography is just, it's the catering to the notion and the desire, which is actually further created by pornography, the desires which are shaped by pornography, that people feel entitled to, and men in particular, feel entitled to own and possess and dominate and degrade a female. And that's what we're talking about. So let's be clear, the overwhelming majority, and many of them have no voices. They're never heard from. Their stories are horrific. Go see The Whistleblower. You'll see this. The U.S. military is involved in the sex slave trade. The U.N. peacekeepers are involved in that movement, in that movie, which is documented in the real world. U.S. troops all over the world are involved in it. Women are locked in this country, too. They are kidnapped, and the average age of women who are brought into prostitution in this country is 13. These are not consenting, choosing adults. So that's first thing. The overwhelming majority do not make this choice. It is enforced on them, and it's brutal and enslaving. But for that minority, that small minority who actually does have the space to speak and is then trumpeted by an industry that loves to get this voice out there and a culture and a mainstream that loves to promote these voices so they get heard a lot more, but for that minority that makes the choice, that has other options and still chooses to do to work in prostitution or work in pornography, I say this. The fundamental question is not whether a woman chooses to be in pornography or prostitution herself. The fundamental question is, what social impact does this have? What does it reflect about society, and what does it reinforce to make that choice? If somebody goes out and kills somebody else, we don't sit back and go, I wonder if they really intended it. Was that unique to them? Was that genuine to them? Did they make that choice? That's not our first question. That matters, but that's not our first question. Our first question is, what's the social impact? And if it's a harmful social impact, if the notion and participating in the notion that a woman's body should be purchasable is a harmful social impact, which it is, then choosing to be part of that is not a choice I would uphold. Now, if you choose to do something like that, whether it be through prostitution or pornography, I'm not going to blame you for the fact that those are the choices that are laid out for women. I will struggle with you. This is a point that Baba Bacon has made. We won't blame people who make these choices, but we'll struggle with them. And we'll also point out, while you may have chosen to work in pornography or you may have chosen to prostitute yourself, you did not choose the choices that you had to choose from. Those were shaped by society. And I think that what I am talking about and what we need to lift our sights to is a world in which, one, no one is ever desperate enough to have to sell themselves to survive, and two, where we get out of a society where people feel that somebody else can be a means to their end, that somebody else can be nothing more than something that they can use to get off on, and their humanity doesn't matter, their desires don't matter, their equality doesn't matter. And that's what you're paying for when you pay for prostitution or pornography.
You know, and on that note, I want to just, you know, one other point on this. And even in thinking about this question of people saying, well, we're doing it as a, you know, sort of a social service without even referring to those words, but choosing to do a job that might be, maybe you can be helping people who, for whatever reason, including they're not attractive, quote unquote, they've never experienced sexual intimacy, they're socially inept or whatever reason there is, you know, to go and try and see that, okay, well, I'm going to become a prostitute in order to help someone gain some sexual intimacy. You know, the idea that, to me, it always struck me as that that's so terribly stuck in the present parameters of this society. It's just so terribly stuck there that the idea that human intimacy, you know, is something that can be bought and sold, or that humans can only attain intimacy through adhering to certain standards, be they social or physical, whatever, beauty standards or social, you know, abilities to function in a social arena, that these things, instead of having the alienation that's concentrated in that, is really stunning. You know, it just blows me away that this is as long as we think that we're stuck in this society that we have today and the parameters that it imposes on us, it's a terrible life, a terribly alienating life for anyone.
It is, and let me add this: it is like you're saying. There's nobody whose physical appearance should live in a society where that does not mean that no one wants to talk to them, no one wants to relate to them, nobody wants... I mean, A, in this society, you'll already find a lot of people, and a lot of women and a lot of men who have overcome those kinds of superficial prejudices and all of that. But it's real in this society that people are dismissed, people are devalued because of superficial reasons. But let me say this. It's two things. One, the overwhelming majority of men who pay women for sex have had lots of consenting sexual partners. There's a view that goes together that you can use a woman for sex and not get to know her, that goes along with being able to pay a woman for sex, prostitution, is the same view that says, oh, you can meet a woman in a bar, have a one-night stand, and never call her again, and tell your guy friends that you scored. And frankly, the studies that have been done with Johns and interviews with all the Johns that I've read, which are quite extensive, the overwhelming majority of them have had many sexual partners, but they don't have much respect for women. And that's the larger reason why they have a harder time finding a real partnership. And frankly, they're not looking for one. I think it's a myth that prostitution substitutes for that, because it's a different order. It's a different framework to pay somebody for intimacy. It's a totally different thing.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be taking your phone calls. We'll be rejoining Sansara Taylor from Revolution Newspaper, and we're talking about the call to action, end pornography and patriarchy, the enslavement and degradation of women. All right, once again, I'll repeat the warning, and that is that when we get to the listener call-in section of the show, you will not be able to call in because the show is pre-recorded. But I encourage you all to write to me, and I will not only read them myself, but I'll forward them to Sansara as well. And at the end of the show, she gives out an email address where you can send questions, comments, and whatnot to her directly. So we'll take a quick break and be right back to continue our discussion with Sansara Taylor. Welcome back. That's Tao Wen with Body. All right, that seems very fitting for this portion of the show. We have got a packed board, but you can keep on calling because we are sure going to this is going to go on until the very last minute. We're talking with Sansara Taylor from Revolution Newspaper, and we're talking about the call to action, end pornography and patriarchy, the enslavement and degradation of women. And you're tuned into the Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate. All right, and as we're going into our call-in section of the show, I once again just want to quickly remind people, you will not be able to call in because the show is pre-recorded, but please stay tuned. I think you'll find the conversation very interesting. You want to forward any questions or comments, you can write to me, and I'll not only read it myself, but I'll pass on all of your comments and questions to Sansara, and at the end of the show, she gives out an email address where you too can contact her directly, but you won't be able to call in today. Sansara, we're going to jump right into the questions because there's people who have, as soon as we gave it out, everybody's calling. So let's go to Chris, who works in porn and is against banning pornography. Chris, welcome to the show.
Oh, well, hello. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Quite well, thank you. I've probably been in the business almost 20-something years, and I have noticed that, that there has been a change in the tone of the movies that used to be made. You know, it used to be... And I agree with you, there has been a noticeable change in the tone of movies. It used to be more about consensual sex and empowerment of both partners. And almost in line with the economic collapse, you've seen this turn in gay and straight porn to degradation, violence, fetishization. And I think that's more about people's economic position more than it is about anything else. So I'm not sure just banning porn is... Is it going to change any of those things? I think that we should have a conversation about, you know, maybe some sort of regulation or even like taking it off the internet, or there's all kinds of ways to like make it more responsible. But just saying ban it outright, that's not a real solution because it's not going to happen. It's not a real solution.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Sansara?
Well, Chris, I appreciate the reflection, and I think you're right. The observation about the increasingly violent, degrading, and demeaning nature of pornography in the 20 years that you've been working in the industry. I think that's very accurate, and I'm glad to hear that reflected back from you. To be clear, in a revolutionary society, we're going to ban porn. After the revolution, we're not going to allow pornography, because as long as you have the mass production of images of women being used for sex, women are not going to be free. I just want to make this point. Pornography is not just a depiction of sex. It's a depiction and a training of how people see women. Because every woman in porn exists only for the purpose of wanting to sexually pleasure a man. And there's no woman who has bigger ideas that are ever entertained for any good reason. There's no woman who ever says, no, I don't want to tonight, let's just cuddle. That would be absurd. That's not what porn is. It's women servicing men, or the mirror reflection of that in gay and lesbian porn, somebody servicing somebody else and looking at somebody else like an object to be used. So we're going to ban pornography in a revolutionary society, because then you'll actually have people, right now, people are bombarded by it. It shapes the way people learn to see the world and see themselves and see each other. And we want people to be free of that. Having said that, in this society, with the capitalist, patriarchal, repressive government that we have, the state as it is, this movement that I'm calling for is not to ban pornography in this society, because it will lead to witch hunts, repression, attacks on gays and lesbians, attacks on sex education. This is not a good, this is something that this state should not be strengthened in any regard. But we do need a culture that challenges this. And I want to let people know I'm on International Women's Day this year, March 8th, and then the following weekend, the 10th and 11th. We're calling for marches for people to take to the streets and say no more to this culture of rape and culture of pornography and the direction that Chris was speaking to, the increasingly violent nature of this and the increasingly mainstream nature of this. And there's a world of difference between saying we want this government to further repress and censor people's ability to express themselves and saying we want people themselves to say no, we're sick of being fed by a porn industry, a $12 billion a year industry, being fed a homogenized, degrading view of women and having that filter into and infect and affect and destroy generations of women's confidence, psyches, and the ways that men view women. This has to be rejected culturally, militantly, in the streets by people themselves.
All right. Let's hear from Marianne, who describes herself as a former Playboy bunny. Marianne, welcome to the show.
I really appreciate that you've been discussing this issue, and it's actually Marianne and Miriam. And I actually worked as a video girl and as a Playboy bunny, but I worked at the Enterprise for quite a few years. And I have to say, it is the media promotes everything that has been discussed here. And I think it captures a huge audience, not just the female, but it also captures the gay male industry and the lesbian industry, unfortunately. And they are, unfortunately, also victims, as you were discussing, in a large way, and also, I think, are more victimized than the heterosexual industry of porn. So anyway, my point is that I believe that the media is hugely responsible for everything that gets cited as to what you're referring to. And it's really, really a horrible... It's a horrible industry at the very soft end of it to the very innocent end of it, all the way up to the hardcore porn.
Sansar?
Can I ask you, when you say it's even more victimization, let me ask you two things. When you say it's a horrible industry from the soft to the very hardcore, if you're comfortable, would you explain that a little bit more? Just because I don't think it's not often that people hear that from somebody like yourself.
Well, first of all, I didn't get involved in a desire to be involved with the company in the fashion that was presented as a very, very young college student. I was interested because they had incredible benefits, and that's what was sold to me as a very bad bag of goods. But when I say in the soft end of it, do you want me to expound on, elaborate on what aspect of that?
Well, I just wanted to ask you.
The benefits that they offer you to entice you or what? Could you elaborate more on what, in other words, could you tell me what you want me to elaborate on?
You don't have to. I just wanted to ask you if you wanted to explain to people when you say it's a horrible industry, even for the whole spectrum. Because a lot of times people think, oh, well, I understand the gonzo porn, the rape porn, the porn where it's clearly visibly painful for the woman. There can be some people saying, yeah, I could see why that would be bad. But the photos, the... Go ahead.
You started by discussing, and I didn't get to, unfortunately, hear the whole conversation, but things that you were describing as in, it starts with the innocence of just Britney Spears dressed up as a cheerleader. Well, that would be what Hefner thought is the girl next door, which is what he capitalizes on, the girl next door. It's a lifestyle, is what he describes himself. He's the king of porn. Let's face it. Soft or hardcore, it's all the same. And they start with young girls. This is what they start with. And they sell them on a bad bag of goods is how I describe it. They entice them through other things like, oh, this is what all girls do to get into the industry or to get benefits to go to college. And it's just a clean cut, girl next door, open attitude about sex. That's really not what it is, but that's what they portrayed it to be. There are a lot of enticements along the way to entrap very, very young women into this industry.
Well, Miriam, is that the name?
Yes.
I want to thank you for calling. Thank you so much for
thank you for doing the show. It is really powerful, and I have to tell you, it starts, and unfortunately it's the media, this is hugely, in my opinion, responsible for what continues to go on and how it's depicted in the world, really. And I agree with her.
I want to thank you. I also want to ask you and everybody else listening, there's a email and a website. The email is stoppatriarchy@gmail.com, and the website is stoppatriarchy.tumblr.com. That's stoppatriarchy.tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R.com. And this is where people can contact this new movement to end pornography and patriarchy, the enslavement and degradation of women. I just want to add one thing. This image, which I think is important, the image of Hugh Hefner, the girl next door. I just want to unpack that for a minute, because what porn is training you is to see, as I said before, every woman as existing to sexually service men. And there's two kinds of women in porn. There's the women who know that's what they want, and they're called sluts and whores and all of this, and they know that they want to have a man dominate and degrade them, and they're eager for it, and the more it happens, the more they love it. And then there's the other kind of woman, the woman who doesn't think she wants that and has to be tricked or coerced into it but ends up loving it. And this notion that the girl next door, that every woman around you, every girl around you, really, you should be having a fantasy about her. And really, even if she puts up a fight, even if she acts like she doesn't want it, on some level, that's the nature of every woman. That's their essence, is they want you to dominate and sexually dominate them. And this is how men are trained to view women, and pornography reflects this, and pornography creates and reinforces this in people's minds.
All right, Marian, thank you very much for joining us today. We're going to move on so we have a whole board full of calls so we can get other people in.
Absolutely, please. I can't wait to hear. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing out there.
Thank you. We're talking with Sansara Taylor from Revolution Newspaper, and we're talking about the call to action, End Pornography and Patriarchy, the Enslavement and Degradation of Women. And you're tuned into the Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate. All right, let's talk with Richard in Whittier, talking about porn and the Catholic Church. Richard, welcome to the show.
Hi, my name's Richard, and I just wanted to know, did you read Theology of the Body by Pope John Paul?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's exactly what you're talking about. That's what he talks about, saying that men look at women more as objects instead of a subject or the person that they are. I highly recommend to read it because it's exactly what you're talking about, and it's from the Catholic perspective. It's an excellent book, and I encourage everyone that's listening to read that book because it will change your life, and if enough people read it, it will change society.
All right, Richard, thank you very much. We're having a little bit of trouble with the quality of the call here. So if you'd listen to Sansara's response offline, that'd be great. Sansara, anything to say on that?
Yeah, I do. Richard, I appreciate your sentiment. I have to say I don't think the Pope is somebody to look to in any regard in terms of really valuing women as full human beings. The Pope, somebody who is against contraception, against abortion. I think this is at the very top of the hour, if people are just tuning in. I spoke about this at the beginning. Whether you want to reduce women to a sexual object or whether you want to reduce women to a breeder, an object who breeds children, both of them strip women of their full humanity. Neither of them see women as fully human, and neither is any better than the other. And the Pope reflects and concentrates a whole history, condemnation of divorce, the notion that a woman should stay with a man who is abusive and oppressive because to divorce him is a sin against God. This is what the Catholic Church preaches, and it's patriarchy, it's domination, it's male supremacy, and it's the enslavement of women. And we have to see women as full human beings. We have to fight against the traditions of Christianity and the Church and other dominant religions which want to enslave women to their reproduction, reduce them to breeders, and help meet some men. And we have to reject the equally enslaving notion that women's sole value is their sexual desirability and their ability to service men in that regard. Women are full human beings. We are capable of participating equally in every realm together with men. That's what we need to fight for. That's what we need a movement of resistance fighting for today. And so, Richard, while I appreciate your sentiment, I have to say very forcefully, I challenge you to think more deeply and to examine the actual content of the Bible. There's an incredible book, Away With All Gods, Unchaining the Mind and Radically Changing the World by Bob Avakian, which goes deeply into the patriarchy of the Bible. But also, you know, to people more broadly, we have to break out of this. Neither the virgin nor the whore. Women are human beings, but that needs to be fought. and that needs to be asserted, and we need a movement that comes forward of all generations, but particularly targeting young women and young men who have never known anything different than these dominant social trends that we're describing.
All right. How about we move on to Neil, who wants to talk about porn and labor human rights. Neil, welcome to the show.
I really appreciate the conversation that you're having. I think the only way that there is going to be any change, if there will be change, is by talking frankly about what we mean and not falling into the trap of feeling shame about or talking around the issue by not naming things as they are. But I also think we're missing a larger opportunity by focusing specifically on male-female relations, not seeing porn as kind of a perfect example of free market capitalism, and that the people who are subjected or enslaved or whatever I'm a father of two young girls, and I don't want them to work in porn, but I also don't want them to work in a slaughterhouse, you know. And I see this as just part of a larger question about labor and just people servicing industry.
All right, Sansara?
Well, there's overlap. I just want to be clear. There's exploitation of people in every realm in a capitalist society, and I think you're right. We need to end exploitation. We need to end the domination of people to the estrangement of people, and the domination of them by the massive means of production that are privately owned and where the wealth is expropriated by a private class of capitalists. And there are people exploited in the fields, in the factories, in the sweatshops across the world. There is something additional and different that is happening to women in porn and women in the sex industry. And it is the commodification of the actual person, of her sex, of her being, of her whole person. And actually what's being sold is the ability to dominate and degrade her. It's not her labor per se that's being sold, even if she's doing labor in the porn industry. It's the image of her being dominated. It's the notion of female subordination and the sexualizing and the eroticizing of that. And so I just want to make a distinction that while we should fight against exploitation and in all of its forms, that it's not sufficient, and there's been a tradition of this, frankly, in some of the so-called communist movements and even in some of the genuine communist movements, to negate the actual independent struggle for the liberation of women, for the casting off of the shackles of women, and to say, oh, if we end exploitation, that'll take care of the oppression of women. No, the liberation of women has to be fought in its own right. And the notion that women's bodies and women should be reduced to nothing more than body parts and objects, that has to be fought in its own right. And in capitalist society, that, like everything else, gets filtered through commodity relations. And so it gets compounded. It gets turned into a multi-billion-dollar industry, a multi-billion-dollar global trade in women's bodies. But that can't be resolved just by fighting for better conditions of labor or something like that. So I think we have to take it up on both levels.
All right. We're going to move to our last question. And this one I'm picking because it seems to concentrate something that we've been talking about a long time through the entire show. And I want to warn both of you that we have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes for both the question and the answer. So Matt, who wants to talk about porn reflecting capital. Matt, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I think it is quite a reflection of American capitalism, which tries to commoditize every experience of life. Our health industry, everything is all about exploitation and money. And also, I remember being a child, and having a big crush on my kindergarten teacher, who was very different build than the Barbie doll. And then years later, I'm not attracted to that anymore. And I remember being shown Playboy as a young kid and stuff. And I completely understand what your guest is saying about our perceptions of attraction and what we're attracted to being shaped, because I wonder if I would have never been exposed to all that, maybe I still would like large women, and I try and fight those things. I should have, anybody listen to Alan Watts and his speech on sexuality in the church. It is amazing. Please listen to it.
All right, Matt, thank you very much. But Sansara, we have just under a minute to go, or a minute to go. So can you respond to that and maybe also give people a way to get in touch with you and with this whole initiative?
Okay, well, I want to respond by saying, look, I think it's Bob Avakian makes this analogy. In the history of this country, not only was there slavery and lynchings of black people, but there was a culture where that was so widely accepted that white people used to gather around when lynchings took place and snap pictures of the lynchings and make postcards. And he makes the analogy, and I think it's very accurate, that in the world today, there is no other section of society where there is so much openly held hatred and openly acceptable expression of hatred as there is towards women. And he makes the analogy that today, pornography, in its mass depiction of the degradation and dehumanization and violation of women, represents the modern-day postcards of the lynchings. And it's a means through which all women are terrorized and degraded. And I think it's very important. There are labor questions, there's exploitation. This is the hatred of women, and it's the poisoning of people's minds in that regard. It is the torture of women and the participation in viewing pornography. In that, you get off on that, you lose your own humanity. The women are destroyed, and you lose your own humanity if you get into that. So you need to get out of that. You need to be part of challenging it. Join up with this effort. We're going to be in the streets on International Women's Day in March. Go to stoppatriarchy.tumblr.com. Email me at stoppatriarchy@gmail.com. Please get involved. Share your thinking. We'll correspond. We'll be in touch. And we're going to build a movement to put an end to this madness.
All right, Sansara, thank you very much. And really glad to have you. Have you back again real soon. So take care. You're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate, and we've been talking with Sansara Taylor from Revolution Newspaper about patriarchy and pornography. And I want to thank my board up today, Teddy Robinson, my production assistant, Henry Carson, and all of you who called in, and those who didn't get a chance to be heard. Sorry, but it was just really a packed board today, and I wish I could have gotten to everyone. If you want to write to me, you can at michaelslate@redfuture.com. We're going to go out now with Rebel Girl from Bikini Kill. Talk to you again next week.